Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
You got a Bible? Go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're in our abounding and abiding. I promise I'm not going to preach for a long time today. And I'm just kind of getting comfortable up here. How you guys feeling? You feeling good? You feeling good? You're looking good. You guys feeling good? Is anybody excited about back to school time? Nobody's excited about it. The parents are. Parents are excited. Hey, I'm glad you guys ran into that person because now I understand there's some people I don't really understand what's going on in their life. Now I understand it's brain leakage. It's a new thing I can ask. What is your brain? See, I think most parents think their kids have that. Brain leakage, so they can't hear. That's what I think they think it is. But anyways, okay, you don't have to laugh at my jokes. That's fine. I totally won't be offended at all. Totally won't. I was out of town most of the week. I was at Voice of the Apostles in Orlando. I'm going to talk about that a little bit in my message. God is speaking to this house. We're in an interesting season. We're in a really, really neat season as a house. We're in a season individually and corporately of having dreams restored. We're in a harvest season. We're in a growth season. We're in a very exciting season. I don't know if you have experienced it yourself. I'm going to talk a little bit about the vision of God for this house. And we've been talking about where Jesus says, if you abide in me, my word abides in you. And he talked about if we continue this abiding, then whatever we ask will be granted. And we talked about how we have to live in him and he has to live in us and how there's a synergistic relationship of Jesus allowing us to grow and us allowing God to grow in us and us submitting to his plan. And at the same time as we submit to his plan expands in our life. And we've talked about that at length. And we've also talked about how we're supposed to have good works and how we're supposed to abound in good works. And we're gonna talk a little bit about, we've heard about how we need to hear what God wants us to do because that's what he's going to anoint. God is going to anoint his will, yeah? And we need to know what God wants us to do for our life so he can anoint it, right? So we can get involved in it, so we can get involved in his will, so he can anoint it, so it can abound and we can just continue to grow in Christ. Or I'm just catching you up on our series. Any questions? At this point, okay, no good. Thank you. Excellent. I'm glad that we're all up together. And so what we talked about as a house is we want to be people who know God's plan for our life. The difference between us and the world is we know God. I'm not saying nobody knows God but us in this church, obviously. But the Father has revealed his will through his Son. And all those who receive Christ Jesus as Lord, all those who recognize his deity, we get to receive Holy Spirit so that God can live in us, revealing God's plan in our life. God's only required to fulfill the promises that he's spoken to you. He's only required to make his will come to pass in your life. He's not required to do anything he hasn't called you to do. What do you mean? What are we talking about? Just because you want something doesn't mean God has to do it. No matter how much you cry and complain and get miserable and tell God, you know, I'm going to hold my breath until you do what I want you to do. Doesn't matter how much you fast, doesn't matter how much you pray, doesn't matter how much money you give, God is not required to do anything that he's not called you to do. I heard someone recently say, once you hear what God has for your life, you'll never want to be anybody else. There's a lot of wonderful people in the body of Christ today, and I want to be Carl Thomas. I want to be who God has called me to be. Amen? I want to be who God has called me to be. And I want to hear who that is so I can be that person. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm excited right now. I feel a shift happening. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you there? You there? 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, you there? 2 Corinthians 9, 8. Excellent. The Word of God says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Here's the exciting part that I really need you to hear. God is going to call you to do something. He's going to call you to do something. And if it's really God who's called you to do it, it's going to be something you can't do on your own. If God has really called you to do it, you can't do it on your own. Why? Why would he call you to do something you can't do? Because it is God's utmost desire to co-labor with you in transforming the earth. It is God's utmost desire that we would submit our lives to him and we would say, not my will, but your will, and that we would lay down our lives and we would receive God's plan for our life, then he can come in and empower us to do the very thing we were created to do. It's his greatest desire. It's his greatest desire that there would be a remnant on the earth that looks like his son. Are you with me here? I'll try that over here. It's his greatest desire there'll be a remnant on the earth that looks like his son. And you, the believers in Christ Jesus, get to be that person. God is so desiring that there's a people on the earth who love him. He so desires a people on the earth who say, I know that there's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and I know I can eat from that tree, but I choose not to. I choose to eat from the tree of life. I choose God's plan. I could do these things on my own, but I choose God's way. And once we choose God's way, here's the awesome part. Once we choose God's way, then he shows us he'll empower us to do that very thing that he's called us to do. God always wants us to take steps of faith. He wants us to take risk. He wants us to live lifestyles of risk. He wants us to live in a way that we're dependent on him. We need to be a church that's dependent on him. So many churches in America today, if the Holy Ghost left, you wouldn't know. Absolutely nothing would change. We want to be a church that requires Holy Spirit. We require the supernatural. We require God's presence. We need to be a people that are required to hear what God is speaking for this day and this hour and this time. That's who we are as a people. That's who we're called to be on the earth. That's who on this planet. That's what this planet needs. We don't need more religion. We don't need more churches in this planet. America doesn't need more churches. We got plenty of churches. What we need is more people who hear Jesus and obey. We need people who are submitted to the Spirit of God and say, Father, not my will, but your will. I will say that thing. I will make that leap. I'll make that righteous decision. I'll be your standard bearer. I'll be your cupbearer, Father. I'll be a lampstand in the earth today. I'll allow you to let me on fire and let the world look at what it looks like to be submitted to Jesus. That's what the world needs right now. We don't need more religion. We don't need more programs. We don't need more songs and hymns without the presence resting on them. I need God and I need his presence. I need the living God on the inside of me, telling me how to live my life, keeping me from evil. I need God in my life. I don't need church. I don't need another preacher. I don't need another song. I need the Holy Ghost of God burning on the inside of me. It's what I need. It's what this world needs. What this world needs, people who have an answer to the problems of life today. The man with a bad neck doesn't need a splint. He needs healed. We got to be able to do more than the doctors can do. We got to have answers the world doesn't have. I thank God for school, and I thank God for teachers, you know, and I thank God for doctors. Don't get me wrong on any level. I thank God for these things. But we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be different. And we see here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, He says, God is able to make all grace abound to you. Sound man, can I get a little monitor? That's the first one and two. Put it up like a couple notches, if you would, if you have any idea what I'm talking about. Okay, give me some monitor. We're breaking them in. You ready?
Hello.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Is that monitor?
Check.
No, that's not monitor. One and two. Hallelujah. We're good. Y'all good? Because I'm getting louder in the mains. That shouldn't be happening. Hallelujah. You good, Corey? Check it out. Okay. The Bible tells us that he sent the Holy Ghost to empower us for good works. Now, I understand that we're not saved by works. I understand that so much of the church has been taught you go to church to be right with God. And there's nothing can be farther from the truth. Nothing can be farther from the truth. Church doesn't make you right. Church teaches you how to touch the world. That's what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us we learn how to flow with the Holy Ghost, how to get filled and how to minister. The Bible tells us that the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher were sent for the equipping of the saints. You come here, we get together so that grace could abound so we can learn how to touch the world. Going to church doesn't save you. We know that. Good works won't save you. These girls went out and, you know, worked in a farm, and people went out and fed some homeless people. That don't send you to heaven. What sends you to heaven is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way to heaven. The only way to heaven is to surrender your life to God and allow him to empower you, and you say, you died for me, and I take up your life. That's how we get to heaven. However, it's not supposed to stop there. That's not the end of the road. That's not the last thing there is. Otherwise, we would just, you know, salvation would be the last step before death. But clearly, that's not what we're doing. We're still here for a reason. It's not like we get saved, and then we're like in the waiting zone for the next 40 years. I'm just at the bus stop waiting to go to heaven. I'm not at the bus stop. I'm running things. That's how I feel. Like I'm on the team now, and I'm here to do some things. The Bible says that we're empowered for good works. He's able to give us grace. See, and as Paul's writing this letter to the church in Corinth, he's saying, listen, I understand. And if you read this text in context, and if you read what's going on in Corinth, he's saying, look, I see you want to do some stuff, and there's power for you to do it. There's not just power just to play with God. There isn't just power just so we can see miracles, so we can feel good about it. He says, look, there's good works you're supposed to be doing, and God will empower you to do those good works. You get what I'm saying? We're on the same page here, right? I want to talk for a minute about what these good works are. And then I'm going to kind of talk to you about how God has revealed to me the plan for this church. And he systematically revealed it to me. And I'm going to give you 3 points on who we are as a people. And hopefully it's going to inspire you to get a vision for your own life if you don't have one yet, okay? You all good? My monitors didn't go up at all, by the way. They didn't get any louder. I don't know, you know. Did you even hear monitor when you were playing? Or did you not hear yourself at all? I bet you didn't, did you? There was no monitor, was there? No, there wasn't. More lies. Hallelujah. You guys good? Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Hey, you want to hear a cool story? Yeah, has anybody seen The Office? We got our ceiling done in The Office, yeah? I heard it looks nice. People like it. I hear it's cooler in there. Check one. Yeah, there's no monitor. I bet it's not even on. Did anybody turn on the monitor amp this morning? It's not on. All right, Matthew. Oh, anyway, so the guy came to install the ceiling, and I heard at the end, everybody prophesied over him. How are you going to come to our office and not get prophecy, right? The Holy Ghost touched his heart. He was weeping for joy. Oh, hey, I hear a monitor. Praise Jesus. Can you turn it down just a little bit? Is this okay? We're still practicing, all right? Turn it down a little more.
Check one.
A little more. Turn it down if you would. Excellent. Thank you very much. That's good. Appreciate it. I was going hoarse up here. Anyway, so he got touched by the Holy Ghost, and that was good. You guys here? Matthew chapter 10? All right, this is the words of Jesus, so we know they're important, okay? Matthew 10, verse 6. What did I say, Matthew 6? Don't listen to me. Watch. Put up the scripture. See, they know. Matthew 10, verse 6. You ready? I'm still figuring this thing out. He says, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You've received without pay, give without pay. You see, good works in the kingdom should look a little bit different than good works in the world. We need worldly good works. We need it. We need comfort. We need those of you who have a gift of hospitality to give a helping hand. Those of you who are social workers, we need that. The world needs that. We need some people who care. I mean, I don't know what's going on in our government today. I don't know what's going on in our society today where we just, it's like okay not to care about people who are hungry. I don't understand personally. I don't get it. I understand people who complain about freeloaders on the government. Okay, I understand that. And I understand people who say there's generational poverty and they don't like it. I understand that. I understand people who say folks come here just to feed. I understand that. But at the end of the day, when there's a hungry kid, we should be feeding them. And if I could just say this very gently, the reason the government is in that business is because the church is not. That's the church's job. That's not the government's job. Jesus didn't come and tell America to feed the hungry. He told the church to feed the hungry. He didn't tell America to feed the widow. He told the church to feed the widow. That's our job. We're worried about what the government calls marriage. The government ain't supposed to be in the marriage business. That's our business. Because the church is failing, the government's picking up the slack. Government's like, oh, we'll go ahead and define it. You know, a frog and a horse married. You know, like, come on. They don't have any idea. They still think the man came from a rock that exploded on its own billions of years ago. I mean, come on. How will the government know what a marriage is? That's our job. Oh, we need to change the laws. No, we need to change the earth is what we need to do. We need to change society. I don't need to change the government. I need to change society. We need to restore shame. I got a funny story. You want to hear a funny story? I was at Voice of the Apostles, right? And I was on the third row, and I was extremely uncomfortable. I was extremely uncomfortable. I was with somebody who's supposed to be on the third row. Me, not so much. We're sitting in an area that's reserved for the speakers and their assistants. And I was with somebody who was supposed to be there. But, you know, I'm sitting here, and like the people on the second row are like people with massive churches. And people are like, oh, who are you here with? I'm like, I'm a driver. I shouldn't be here. If you follow Bill Johnson on Instagram, he did like a little selfie with him and a girl, and I was right behind them. I wanted to photobomb that picture so bad. You don't know how bad I wanted to photobomb that picture. I like took all my self-control not to do it. But at one point, they were throwing out T-shirts, right? They were, like, giving away some product, throwing out T-shirts. And, like, I was sitting, like, on right over here. And there was a bunch of people sitting in the aisles. And this guy threw this shirt to this girl, right? And right before she got it, this guy leaned over and snagged it right at the end. He's like, and everybody's like, oh, and I start booing him. Boo! Boo! And the people around me started booing him. Boo! We're in a church service with 7,000 people. I'm booing him. Boo! All these people start booing him, and he throws the shirt to the girl. Bill Johnson turns to his assistant and says, they shamed him. That's funny, but you know what? We lack a little shame in America today. I see some people, what they wear out, and I'm like, "Who? Why are you not shamed to do that? Why do you not have shame to wear that? Why are you not embarrassed? You should be embarrassed to wear that. Like, who told you that was okay? There's like a whole dance that's out right now that I'm not even going to use the word. Like, if that's your daughter, you should be embarrassed. You should seek the Lord and say, where did I fail that my daughter's dancing like that? When did God leave my family? At what point did I decide that righteousness was not important and that it was okay for the devil to live in my community? Why is that being celebrated right now? We talked about that last week. What different music genres celebrate different sin. Like, when did that become okay? And then when I see it in the church, I'm grieved. I'm grieved in my heart. When you see people dancing shamefully and they're wearing a cross, and I'm like, why aren't you convicted right now? We have failed as a church. And I'm not judging people. I'm just saying, you know, every genre has its own vile behavior. And it's like, God commissioned us to change the planet. And more I'm seeing the church look like the planet. Our music doesn't sound any different. Our messages aren't any different. We're supposed to be doing something here. We should be healthier. Our marriages should be better. Our kids should be more righteous. We should be leading companies because we have the power of God to change the world. Do you hear what I'm saying? My God, from Zion. So Matthew chapter 10, he tells us about these good works in verse 6. He says, listen, he says, as you go, preach the gospel. Preach it. And as you're preaching, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out devils. It's like, wow, God, that sounds difficult. Julian said, I've seen lots of people get healed. I haven't actually done it myself before, though. And what's really interesting, and it's been pointed out before in this house, that Jesus sent his disciples out to go do this before he taught them how to pray. He just went out. They just went out with the word. Go do what I told you to do. And the Corinthian church got so excited about this power that they have, they forgot the purpose of it. They got so spiritual, they forgot about the God they were supposed to be serving with the Spirit. Let me put it in today's terms. They started having church for the sake of having church. Church started becoming for the churched. We're not supposed to have our own community. We're not supposed to have our own culture. We're supposed to have kingdom culture and then spread it to the earth. Let me say it like this. If you have clothes you only wear to church, you've missed the point. Can I say it like that? We've missed the point. Now, if the only righteous clothes are the ones you wear to church, then you might want to, you know, let that change your whole wardrobe. But you hear what I'm saying. I'm on a soapbox here today. I want to go over three real quick points about our call as a house. What they have to do with this, because what God has spoken to me. Is that okay? I'm going to use some names. You may or may not know these people. It doesn't really matter. People are people. Some of them are more credible. Some people hear God a little bit better. Some people have a little more authority because they've walked in that power longer. These are people I respect. I'm going to share with you some of the prophetic words that I have received that guide what we're going to do as a house. Is that okay? I'm first going to drink some water. Talk amongst yourselves. Excellent. Number one. You with me? I'm a little loose today. Is that all right? We good? And I love this church. I love you people. Let me say this. I meet a lot of big name people. I have no idea why. I always brag on this church. Has anybody seen the movie Father of Lights? Anybody seen that movie? Yeah? Let me see. Who's seen that movie? Remember the orphanage in China? And the couple that had I sat next to that woman this entire week. She prayed for me. And she prayed, I asked her just to pray for this church, and she started praying. She started praying with tears. This woman was interceding. She began to cry hard over you. She's like, tell me about church. I said, my church is amazing. It's just the most amazing church. It's not amazing like her, but it's just amazing. Like, I meet people, and every time I meet people, I brag about you guys because I'm amazed with this church. I'm just excited with all of you. And this brings me to the call that God has revealed to me about this house. Our number one call, if you're going to take notes, number one, write one word down, revival. Our number one call is revival. Number one call is revival. And we kind of see what that looks like here in Matthew chapter 10. However, in Matthew 6, Jesus says, okay, here's how when you're doing your daily prayer, here's what I want you to pray. And we all know this. Some people call it the Lord's Prayer. It's not really the Lord's Prayer. It's our prayer. But he says, listen, I want you to pray your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Right? Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Now, side note. You still with me, right? Some people say that the kingdom is here already. Right? Like it's just around us. We don't even need to preach anymore. Nobody needs to repent. Just the kingdom is here now. It's just here. And we're just walking in it. And if that were true, then why are we supposed to pray every day that his kingdom would come? Jesus is not confused. Chaon, who is if there's an apostles on the earth today, he's an apostle. Chaon has a network of churches that's so large. His spiritual father gave him an assignment 2 years ago and said, listen, Che, here's what I want you to do. I want you to figure out how many churches you oversee, since you don't know. And he had to put together a team of people to figure out how many churches are in his network. Because churches in his network have started other networks that oversee churches that have networks in them. And it turned out there was over 4,000 churches in his network that he oversees. And just an amazing apostle, just amazing father of the faith. And this week he prayed for me, and he had one quick word for this house. He said, another wave of revival is coming to your church. He said, it's going to be like when the Holy Spirit visited my church in 1994. Now, in 1994, his church rented out Mott's Auditorium on the Word of the Lord, started a revival that lasted several years, and launched his apostolic network. He went from a medium-sized church to an exploding ministry network of 4,000 churches. When he said that, of course, the Holy Spirit came on me, and I was laid on the ground screaming, basically. And well, you say, I'm not cashing that check yet, if you know what I'm saying. We're called to revival. It's been confirmed time and again. But Jesus doesn't say, wait for revival. He says here in Matthew chapter 10, go, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. He tells us, pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We need to pray. We need to do the works that Jesus did. We need to do the things that God has called us to do. Our heart as a house is to see every person in South Florida have the call and gift of God that's on them, revived, awakened, commissioned to go touch the world for Jesus Christ. That's our goal. Our goal is not to get a bigger place for me to preach. Our goal is for you to go out and change the world with the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? That is our goal. Julian came up and said, I never prayed for anybody to be healed before. And now I did it. We didn't say, you know, only the anointed leaders can pray for the sick. The goal, why aren't you praying for the sick? Why aren't I praying for the sick? Why are people walking by who aren't healed? You hear what I'm saying? Our number one call as a house is revival. That's just what we want. I like the presence. I like being anointed. I like good meetings. I like it better when he comes and we're on the ground. Number two, you ready? St. Francis of Assisi had a saying. He would say, preach everywhere and use words if necessary. And that sounds clever, it's just not biblical. I love it, it's just not biblical. Now, I need to let my light shine, but we're called to preach. Number two is we're going to preach the gospel. This is a two-part, you ready? Preach the gospel and work miracles. I had a word from Bobby Connor, who, again, is a prophet. And if you remember this, I believe it happened about a year ago, maybe a little less. And he called me in a meeting. He looked at me and said, preacher, the Lord's going to fill your house with miracles. Miracles are going to have to be Mark chapter 2, verse, I think he said like 2 and 3, where there was the house that Jesus was in was packed. They had to lower people in, but they were packed because of the miracles. If you're part of this house, you're called to be a miracle worker. He's like, well, I'm not working miracles. I'm not supposed to be a part of here. No. You're here. You're going to work miracles. Has anybody been surprised the first time you saw somebody healed when you prayed for them? Did it catch you by surprise? Oh, my God. No, are you really healed? No, check again. No, check again. Quit playing. No, really. No, right there. You sure it doesn't hurt you? You're sure. Walk around a little bit. Now? No, really. Does it hurt all the time? It hurt all the time, huh? Not like later, like now? Oh. Why is that? The Holy Ghost came upon you and you did miracles. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus said this. Now, I want you to hear this. In Mark chapter 1, verse 38, Jesus said, let's go to the next town that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. In the New American Standard Version, it says, that is what I'm here for. Jesus came to preach. Jesus didn't come to just be cute and cuddly so they can paint pictures of him holding lambs. That's not what he came for. He did not come to start a new art movement. He came to preach. He didn't come to start a new jewelry or fashion trend. They're going to want to hang something around their neck. We need it symmetrical. A whip won't be cute. I'll die on a cross. That'll be good jewelry. That's not why he came. It says in this verse he came to preach. God's got something to say to the world, and he wants to use you to say it. Look at your neighbor. Say, he wants to use you to say it. He wants to speak through you. You're not saying it. I'm looking at you. Tell her. God wants to use you to say it. God wants to use you to say it. Does anybody believe that's them? Who believes it? Who believes it? Who believes it? Who believes I'm lying then? God wants to use you to say it. I'm zipping through this. Is that okay? Mark chapter 16 is kind of our cornerstone on this. We believe this is for us. Mark chapter 16, he says, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized. You know, some people say, you know, baptism is just a sign, right? And I can hear that. The only problem is he says here, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Well, do you believe, Pastor, you got to be baptized to be saved? I say, I don't know, but you might as well get baptized. Just, you don't want to test it out. You know, I'm going to go find out. I'm not going to get baptized, and I'll let you know. No, you won't let us know. That's the problem. There was a dude named Lazarus who was burning. And he said, Jesus, can I go let him know? And he's like, nah, you burn. You just keep burning. So we're just not going to test that out. We're just going to get baptized, all right? You with me? He says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. You see that? And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. They'll pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it won't hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Preach the gospel and then show signs. I'll tell you one of my pet peeves of what's happening in the earth today. There's a lot of people going out healing the sick on the streets. And I love that. Nobody's getting saved. I like people getting healed. That's good. It's awesome. But the biblical model is we preach the gospel and then people, we back up our gospel with signs and wonders. People need to get saved. And God wants to use you to do it. You with me? Is that okay? And number three. See, we're moving along here. You like that? We're moving along. I bought a trombone this week. Didn't I tell anybody that? And it's loud. I went and saw a blues band, and there was a trombone player, and I was like, that is amazing. I can't make it do what he was doing, though. I can make it loud. It's very loud. I'm not allowed to practice it at home anymore. Number three. Some people don't like fine music, apparently. Not music lovers like I am. Cultured and whatnot. Keep praying. Pray and watch. Watch and pray, right? Number three. Which brings me to number three. One of the most important things in what we do here is we create community. We create a community. Now, when you have a community, it's different than having a church. A church is a bunch of people who come around a Sunday service, and that's not what we're called to do. We're called to be a community. If you're visiting today, you're probably going to have a whole bunch of people welcome you, because that's the kind of church we are. We're a community. We're glad when people come visit us. We like it better when they stay. We find that people like being around friendly people, and so we're friendly. I got a word from Sean Smith, who's an evangelist and a prophet, really just a great guy. And he had a word for me just as I was about to launch this church. And he said, I see you launching communities of revival. And here's what I like about that. When people say you're going to lead a revival, then it looks like I'm the guy preaching and you're the guy being revived. I'm preaching, you're being revived. What I like better is a community where everybody's in revival and it's who we are. It's not centered around what's happening here on Sunday morning. It's centered on who we are as a people. You understand the difference? It says in Psalm 68, verse 5, Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. That's been such a life verse for me. It was on my wedding invitations. We just believe solidly that there's a lot of lonely people in the world and they don't need more, cover your ears, kids. They don't need sex. They don't need drunkenness. They don't need another club. They don't need ladies' night. Have you noticed that when it comes to clubs, ladies don't go to ladies' night? And real gentlemen don't go to gentlemen's clubs. Real lady, you're not going to find no ladies up in ladies' night. You ain't going to find no gentleman in a gentleman's club. The world can use these words all they want, but it don't mean the same thing when we use them. But we believe in a community of men and women and ladies and gentlemen, fathers and mothers and sons and daughters. We don't believe that there's one father in a house and all the rest are children. We believe that I could be a spiritual father, and at the same time, there's other spiritual fathers, and I can still be son at the same time. The spiritual fathers, and we need brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles, and we need, when my kids acting crazy, that you say, hey, stop acting crazy. And when your kids are acting crazy, I say, hey, quit acting crazy, because we're a community. That's what communities do. And I don't like being annoyed. Again, America lacks community. Well, you can't talk to my kid like that. Well, he was annoying me. He was acting a fool. You want me to talk to him like that? How about you watch your kid? But anybody does whatever they want to do today.
We need a community where people care about one another. They respect one another. You hear what I'm saying? So instead, we got to call the police on people. Playing their music at 1 o'clock in the morning when a brother's trying to sleep. Get ready for church. I don't want to call the police on you. All you got to do is be nice. Live in community. People in community don't do that. Who's calling me at 1 o'clock? This is crazy. That's my phone. Forgive me. Tell them I'll call them later. Don't really answer it. That's no good. Mikey, come on up, please. Just put it away, honey. It's okay. Just put it away. Just put it away. It's okay. Put it away. I'm glad we're just practicing, aren't you? What is Mike? Mike's taking a walk right now, is he? He's like, I've heard enough. That's... I'm going to go grab a bite to eat and I'll come back later. It's family, right? He'll come. You guys okay? Here's what I want to do. I want to pray. I want to see God do this in us. I want to see God. I want everything He has for us. I want to be a community. I want to be a people group. I want to see. Hey, Mike. It's Mike, everybody. You bring me a sandwich, or do we just? I don't like veggies on it, you know. Are you guys okay? Did you get anything out of this? Listen, I could tell you specifically what we're doing as a house because I've heard God. Recently, my wife stopped working at FAU. Thank you, Jesus. Why? Because you're so rich now? No, nothing has changed financially. What happened? I got a word from God. I didn't get it from a prophet. I didn't get it from an apostle. I got it from the Holy Ghost of God. I know His voice and I obey. My daughter switched school this year. Why? What was wrong with her old school? No, her old school was amazing. We didn't want to take her out, except for the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. I didn't start this church because I thought it'd be a fun thing to do. And it has proved not to be fun. I started because God told me to. Met with Darren Davis a couple days ago. He's a pastor of the Harbor in Fort Lauderdale. Great church, doing wonderful things for Jesus. He said, how'd you start your church? Tell me the story. I said, well, Jesus told me to start it, and so I started it. There's your story. The world needs an example of what it looks like to follow God. I'm just grieved that so much of the church isn't that example. Are you saying your life is perfect? Oh, no, far from it. But I have peace because I'm following God. And if this world lacks anything, it's peace. In this day and age, antidepressants being the number one prescribed medication, anti-anxiety medications right behind it. We need to be a people who hears God. So let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that there's a call on this house. And there's a purpose for this people. I thank you that we're not a surprise to you, Father, that you were expecting us. I thank you that you didn't just call me to go to church. You didn't just call me to act like a Christian. You told me to be a Christ follower. You told me to be a carrier of your anointing. You told us that if we'll be your people, you'll be our God. And that you would never leave us nor forsake us. You told us you'd set us in family. You told us that we'd live an abundant life. You told us that we could trust you. You told us that you'd be a good God. You told us that you know the plans that you have for us, the thoughts that you think about us. You told us that you sing a song over us. You told us, Father. And I thank you, Jesus, that we can trust that. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not preaching a gospel of hocus pocus,
or run to man. I thank you, Father, that I can stand here boldly today before your people and say, God is speaking. That God has a word for your life. That God has a plan. He has an answer to your problems and a solution to the things you're going through. I thank you, Father, I can stand up here boldly today and say that God created you for a purpose. I can boldly say that he's not worried and he's unsure, and I can boldly say that God wants to make you the victor and not the victim. I can boldly say that God will make you above and but not beneath, the head and not the tail. I can boldly say that God wants to prosper your life. I can boldly say that God wants to do miracle signs and wonders through you today. I can boldly say that if you surrender to Jesus and you allow the Holy Ghost to do whatever he wants to do through you, that you will do more than you ever thought you would be capable of.